Well, there are an authority to be able to do battle against the enemy, to be able to encourage the things that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, that God gives us the gifts of the Spirit in order to be able to walk in a strength and in an authority, to be able to do battle against the enemy, to be able to encourage one another. And yet probably of the nine gifts, there are, I would say, probably none that have brought the greatest measure of confusion and questions, probably none that have been so divisive even within the church itself as the gift of speaking in tongues and of interpretation of tongues. Even though they're listed as two separate gifts, which they are, they work in unison together. And I'll tell you more about that in a couple of minutes. But probably over the last 50 years or so, tongues has been something that churches have wrestled with. There are a lot of churches that don't talk about or use the gifts of tongues. They don't want it in their church. And I look at something like that and I want to say, well, why not? What is it that creates such difficulty? Why is it that tongues are something that people have such a hard time coming to grips with? And I think there are maybe three things that lend themselves to this that make it so difficult. Because tongues themselves given to the church in the second chapter of Acts, which is where you read this, at the day of Pentecost. You recognize that word? Some of you, that's very familiar. The day of Pentecost was when God sent the Holy Spirit to come to dwell among men, and there were some activities that took place that were pretty unusual. Because as we've talked about these gifts, they are supernatural. They're outside of the natural of who we are. Now, we get a little bit nervous about the word supernatural. I understand that. And we've talked about that. But supernatural is nothing to be afraid of, because anything that has to do with God, there is no fear with that. There's no fear. Why? Because God is love, and perfect love does what to fear? Drives it out, casts it away. So there's no fear when they're things of God. But, and we all know this, God works through us, and we are not perfect. I know some of you are very close. I understand that. Husbands, this would be a good time to look at your wife and go, honey, he's talking about you right now. I try to help you guys. I try to set you up with this stuff. Good man, Jeff. But we look at these things that take place in and through us, through a flawed vehicle. And we understand that things can get twisted sometimes. Things can get a little bit different. I spoke with a pastor friend of mine a number of years ago. He said, if you're going to embrace the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your church, you got to understand there's going to be times it might get a little messy. That's okay. That's all right. And I'm going to talk to you more about that, because I want you to leave here this morning not only understanding what tongues are, but know the importance of them in a church setting, that where God uses them for the glorification of his name and for his people. Back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, the Jesus movement started. Went from California, came across the East Coast, and the gifts of the Spirit became a very powerful part of the Jesus movement. You know, we don't talk about the Jesus movement as being part of the revivals that took place. You rarely hear that as a part of that listing. Why? Well, because the Jesus movement was primarily started and fueled by hippies. That was hard for a lot of the very conventional, denominational, fundamental churches to deal with. They really weren't interested in a bunch of people coming with really long hair and beads and, you know, bathing is optional and those kinds of things. That it was very different from the suit and tie. Present company notwithstanding. our clothes horse, Barry, thank you. But because of that, the whole issue of tongues and other gifts of the Spirit tended to get lumped into this place of, look, this is just weird stuff. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not weird. It's powerful. When it's used according to the way the Scripture says it's supposed to be used. When it's done in a way that gives glory to God. And so many of these things you've heard me say many times. But the fundamental foundational elements of every one of these truths is identical. It is to the glory of God. That's what's most important. And so I think a couple of reasons why this is so difficult to tongues. Number one, it's because it's difficult if you've not been taught it to know what the real purpose of tongues are, to understand their purpose and their use. because of that, there's been some inaccurate teaching that's gone on as well that have made it difficult. And finally, tongues are avoided a lot by people because they're afraid of it a little bit, because they don't understand what they are, and because of pride. You know how pride enters into us? I don't want to look silly. I don't want to look dumb. If I'm doing this kind of thing that nobody understands and it's just, it's unusual, we don't see this a whole lot, what are people going to think of me? I know none of you have ever worried about that. But most people are concerned about looking foolish. Can I tell you once again that when you do it according to the Word, there's nothing foolish about any of this. God doesn't give us things to make us look silly. God gives us things in order to be able to stand in the midst of the storms, to have every tool that He wants us to have in order to do battle against the enemy every single day, because we are told in the Scripture that we're in a war. I don't want to go into a war without all my guns. I want everything that God wants me to have to be able to use to stand firm. Amen? Now, the biblical word for tongues, just so you have a little bit of background to understand what this is. In the Greek, the original language, the word is glossa. And that word, G-L-O-S-S-A, means language. That makes sense, doesn't it? It's where we get the word glossary. At the back of a book, it's the listing of the words and those things. That's what that means. The definition of tongues, of what we're going to be talking about here this morning, is just simply this. It's a supernatural manifestation where the individual is speaking in a language that is unknown and unlearned to him or to her. It's that simple. Tongues is you are speaking in a language that you have never been taught, and you don't even know what it is that you're saying most of the time. That's tongues. Why? Because what it is doing is, it is a way to communicate in an intimacy level with God that removes my mind from what I'm doing. Now, before you get nervous, I'm not saying that God takes away our will. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment, because that's part of some of the misconception about tongues, is that suddenly you've lost control of yourself and you don't know. Not at all. God is a God of order. God is a God that has, there's not chaos involved in the things of God. Now, first let me do this. Let me tell you a little bit about what tongues are not. Because I've done this with all the gifts. I've told you what it is, and I've told you what they're not. I want to tell you what they're not first, so that we can set those things aside and we can focus on what the Bible says tongues are. Here's the first thing. Tongues are not a status symbol of greater spirituality. You're not an extra special person because God works through tongues in your life. Because Bible says, and again, Paul writes this, we are all for the common good of the body. There's no hierarchy of somebody that's more important than someone else. I'm the guy that stands up and talks all the time. I'm not more important than you are in what God's doing in this church. I am no more important. I am another part of the body that God has us all together in order to be able to serve Him. So it's not about someone has more spirituality if God gives them the ability to be able to speak in tongues. And as a matter of fact, the Corinthian church was filled with this. This is who these people were. They had gotten pretty good at what they were doing. Some good things were going on. And you've heard me say, one of the worst things that can happen to a church sometimes is that it goes well, that they get successful. And that's what happened to the church at Corinth. Things were going good, so suddenly these people are starting to position themselves and try to say, well, hey, listen, I'm doing this and you're not. Well, I'm doing this and you're not. And there was division that was beginning to come to the body because of the gifts. Paul writes to them and says, listen, guys, no. You're no more important if you speak in tongues than if you do something else. Prophecy, very important, but it's not more important than something else. All of these things are designed for the purpose of giving glory to God. So if you speak in tongues, if God gives you that ability, if you have a prayer language or if God gives you the gift of tongues, that doesn't separate you from anybody else. It's your gift. Does that make sense? All right, because that's important, because that's the place where Satan comes in first, is he wants to try to bring division, and one of the ways we do that is we look at what we do and what we don't do. God says, no, you're all a part of the body. You're all important to what's going on. Second thing that tongues are not, they're not a shortcut to spiritual maturity. Nothing replaces your time with God in the Word. Nothing replaces your time in prayer with Him. Tongues is an additional element of your life with Him. It doesn't change the way things need to take place. It's not as if, hey, if this person, they get a word in tongues, man, look, man, they're on the fast track. No, not at all. They are just simply being used of God in whatever gift that he gives them. One of the things that you often hear ministers and pastors and folks talk about is maturity within the church. Maturity is very important, obviously. It's important in our bodies physically, obviously, as we grow. We want our children to mature as they grow. We want an adult acting like a 12-year-old. That's not a good thing. Well, the same is true within the church as well. And you've heard me say this so many times that there are a lot of men and women walking around in churches today that have been going their whole lives, and they're still children. Conversely, you've got some people that have not been going to church very long, and there's a real maturity about them that God has been able to pour into them and accelerate. The gifts that we talk about here are all designed to work within our lives according to what it is that God can do in and through us. Maturity is not about your gift. Maturity is, listen to this, I think this is important. Maturity, spiritual maturity, is demonstrated by an ongoing, consistent fruit in our lives. Through life situations where we continue to honor God in spite of what's going on around us. That's a definition of maturity. What is the fruit of your life demonstrated by the things that are going on around you? So your circumstances are really nice and easy. Well, it's easy to praise God then, isn't it? Glory to Jesus. Paid all my bills. Everything's all taken care of. I got a little bit of extra money. I'm happy. I feel good. We can come and praise God. How are you when things aren't that way? Many times that's a mark of maturity. And I'm not saying that in condemnation. All I'm saying is allow God to reveal that to you. Where am I in these things? Do I find myself pulling away when things get difficult? Do I find myself acting in ways that I would not normally act when things are difficult? And with the gifts and every other aspect of my life, what God wants from us is a desire to be so close to him that there's a consistency in my walk that I'm not going to waver. Doesn't matter if the storms are beating against me and I'm falling, I'm going to get back up again. Okay, God, here I am. Take my hand. Let's keep moving and honor and glorify him. I would love to get to the place in my own life that people can't tell whether things are horrific or wonderful in my life by the way I act. I want to be consistent in the way that I act. Could be the worst mess in the world behind me here. I don't know what this is. I don't know how it got there. It's awful, but I'm not going to take that out on somebody around me. I'm going to continue to love. I'm going to continue to be gracious. I'm going to continue to even look for ways to help someone else when in reality, I'm the one that needs all the help. You understand what I'm saying with this? And so the gifts are not about it makes me mature if I have this gift. No, the maturity that we have in our walk with the Lord has to do with how we live our lives, how we focus on him. That's what's most important. One last thing that tongues are not. They are not some hypnotic, trance-like state that the speaker has no control over. Got to understand this, because this is one of the things I think that keeps people from going, okay, God, if you want to give me that gift, that's okay with me. You don't lose control of yourself. When we were created, God put into each and every single one of us a will to be able to choose. We can choose to accept him, or we can choose to reject him. That free will is given to each and every single person. Why would God give us a gift that removes that from our lives? He doesn't. To be able to pray in tongues, to be able to have a prayer language, which I'm going to talk about the difference between those two in just a moment, doesn't mean that I lose control. I have control over what's going to happen with that. And so many times I think we watch circumstances and we watch people operating in what's being called gifts, and unfortunately they don't reflect the truth of what gifts really are in the scripture. You never lose control of yourself in these things. God is a God of order, not of chaos. God is a God that allows us to maintain who it is he created us to be. We don't lose those things. One of the things I've read many times is that these things, tongues, are often called ecstatic speech. Have you ever heard that reference before? Ecstatic speech. Some references in the Bible even refer to it as that. That's not supported by what the Bible says. The scripture does not support that. The definition of ecstatic means to be entranced or giddy, even intoxicated. Those are synonyms. That's not the way we are when we're in the presence of God. Now, are we able to function sometimes with being unable to speak just because of the presence and power of God? Yeah, that can happen. You say, well, Pastor Dave, what about people when they fall down when someone prays for them? Well, I've only experienced that one time in my life. And I don't know why it happened the way that it did. All I know is that I was being prayed for and my legs just felt, I'm not holding you up. So I sat down pretty fast, actually. Kind of went down quick. But do I believe that we need to be pushing each other over when we pray for one another? No. Do we need to be slapping each other in the head? Do we need to be doing all kinds of gymnastics in order to make it appear like something's taking place? No. No. And see, all of those things are what we learn from knowing the Scripture. If it's not in the Bible, why should that be a part of what it is we're doing? Let me go one step further. And I may step on some toes here, but you know me. I love you. I'm not doing it on purpose. But I got size 15 feet, so it's going to happen once in a while. You hear a lot about being drunk in the Spirit. How many of you have heard of that before? Probably most of you, many of you. Okay. There is nothing in the Scripture that supports this. Nothing. Now, you say, wait a minute. Acts, the second chapter. Hey, come on, Pastor, read it in here. What's it say? It says, the tongues of fire settled on their heads. You remember that? That's kind of strange. If we ever see that, that'll be cool. Because that's in the Bible. I've never seen that before. But what it did say is that the people began speaking in languages that were not their own. And it says, now watch this. It says, the people that were there watching began to do what? Make fun of them and say, they must be drunk. They must have had too much wine. The Bible does not say that when you come under the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit, you start acting drunk. That's not what it says. It says they were being made fun of. As a matter of fact, Peter then gets up and says, no, wait a minute. Nobody's getting drunk here. This is not about wine. It's not about acting foolish. It's about being under the power of the Holy Spirit, that they were given an ability to speak in a language that they did not know. It had nothing to do with being drunk. Now, am I going to get all worked up and rail against that and get all kinds? No, that's not going to help. But can I just encourage you to be careful with these things? There are a tremendous amount of things that take place that are said they're done in the Scripture, and in reality, there is an awful lot of emotional manipulation that's taking place. Not always, but sometimes. We just need to be careful. Does it line up with the Word of God? That's what's most important. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit within full measure of our faculties without acting like we have no idea what's going on around us. It's all to His glory. That's what's most important. Who's getting the most attention? That's what I always want to know. Is it the people that are getting the most attention? If that's where the attention is, something's not right. Because it's not about us. It's about Him. That's where the attention needs to be. So enough about that. But here's what I do want us to understand. When we talk about tongues in the Word, there are a couple of things that I want us to understand, and these are the most important. Number one, the gift of tongues is virtually at all times attached with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the first physical manifestation that the Scripture gives us, that when a person receives that baptism, and I'm going to talk about that more coming up here in a little while, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues is a very natural outpouring of that. It is a fruit of that. God is the one that linked those two things together. God is the one that brought the baptism and speaking in tongues together. And that's why we don't want to be afraid of those things. This is something that God has given us. So when you read in the second chapter of Acts, the fourth verse, it says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to. So as God links those two things together, what we need to do is to be able to understand, so how do we use them? What do they mean? Well, here's one of the things. There are two distinct elements of speaking in tongues that we need to understand this morning. The first is this. When we pray many times, God will allow us to be able to speak to Him in a language that we do not have, that we do not know. This is most times called a prayer language. I received my prayer language, let me tell you the date, because that's when I got my Bible. I bought myself a brand new Bible, and I put the date in it here. Okay, presented to myself. I gave this to myself. Can you do that? Is that? I wrote my whole name in and everything. It's really kind of silly. But I gave it to myself on the date of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I received, May 7th, 1993. So I'm coming up on my birthday here. It'll be almost 30 years, 9 to 20 years, 20 years. And when I received that, I had a pastor lay hands, pray over me, a couple of brothers, and just prayed. I said, I want that. I want to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want that as a part of my life. Whatever it is that God wants to do in me, I want to have that. And when they did, after a time, I began to have a prayer language come out that I was able to speak. It's been the same one that I've had all the way through that time. The thing about a prayer language is this. The Bible says that it can be in a known language, but many times it is not. And it's what in 1 Corinthians 13:1 Paul calls the tongues of angels. Have you seen that written in there? Men that speak in the tongues of angels, meaning a language that is not known to us. It's not an earthly language. It's used as a personal thing for you. It is unique and individual to you. I can't tell somebody this is how you're going to pray your prayer language because I'm not the one giving it to you. God gives it to us. My own prayer language to my ear sounds like a combination of two things. This is just me. Mine sounds Oriental in nature and it sounds Native American. Those are the two things that come to my mind when I listen, when I hear my own prayer language. It's different for everybody. And there's no such thing as a wrong prayer language if you're doing it in order to worship Him. And I say that because it can sound a little unusual. I heard the account of a man who was praying in his prayer language. And his prayer language consisted of one syllable, boo. That was his prayer language, boo. And so when he would pray, this is what you'd hear. Boo, 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 boo. Now somebody listening to that on the disc, they're going to go, what in the world is he doing? But listen to this. So people would look at him as you probably would. Really? Come on. You know. Be at least original with what you're doing. Don't make it sound that way. But that's all he would say, would just be that word or that phrase. He was praying this one day in church, and a man had been sitting behind him, came up after the service and said to him, listen, he said, I need to ask you something. He said, where did you learn that language? I said, what language? He said, what are you talking about? He said, that syllable boo that you were saying. He said, where did you learn that? He said, I don't. That's my prayer language. He said, I got that at the very beginning when I started. I've tried to change it. I could never change it because people go, what's the matter with you? And I go, this is my prayer language. He said, listen. He said, I did some mission work in, I think he said it was Africa. He said, there is a remote tribe in Africa that has just recently been found, and their entire language consists of the syllable boo. That's all they say. And it's their tone inflection, it's the accent on it, it's the way that they say it that gives it meaning. He said, that's an actual language. He said that I have never ever heard anybody even be aware of. That was the prayer language that God had given him. Now, your question might be, why? I have no idea. Everybody's prayer language is different and unique to them. And so it's something intimate, and the whole purpose of it, as I said to you earlier, is that for me, I know there are times I just don't know what to say. How do I pray? Woman loses her son. What do you say? What can you possibly say to them? A woman's in a coma and a horrible auto accident. What do you say to their family? How do you even know what to pray for them other than just help them? And so many times it has been such a blessing for me to be able to step out of the confines of my mind. Now, notice I didn't say I removed my mind because I control when I speak in that language and when I don't. It doesn't take me over. As a matter of fact, the only time in the scripture that anybody was taken over was by what? It's by satanic influence. The Bible talks in a story about a man that was consumed by demons, and they said he used to scream, run around in the cemeteries, he would throw himself into the fires, just going all kinds, had no control over him. And then, after he had an encounter with God, what does it say? They said they found him clothed, seated, and in his right mind. That's what God does. God doesn't make us act in ways that we have no control. And I see, I want to be careful with this because I don't want you to think that I'm saying that any place that you see those things happening, it's all wrong, it's all bad. No. But we've got to stay focused on what is from the Word. What does the Word say? It's not about showing and it's not about demonstrating things that people see all this stuff going on. And no, it's just about God, I want to worship you. And so my prayer language is something that God gifts us with to be able to pray to him in a way that just is so intimate. Because I'll tell you what else too with the prayer language. Listen to this. Satan doesn't know what you're saying either. Satan doesn't know what you're saying either. Satan understands English. So when you pray, there are times that, you know, it's just, I want to be able to talk to God with anybody listening into this. Doesn't mean your prayers aren't effective. Doesn't mean that you should not pray. But Satan's aware of those things. I love to be able to talk to God. It's like, I'm behind Satan's back. You don't even need to be a part of this. That's what your prayer language does. It allows you to be able to communicate with God in a way that is so intimate and so private for you. You can pray prayer language over somebody. I've done that before. You need to be a little careful. You don't want to scare them. Just make sure that they understand what that is. But see, that's something that I want to see God begin to do in our house here. I would love, while Dave's playing up here sometime, that there's no singing. It's just 30 or 40 people praying out loud in their prayer language. Has nothing to do with anybody else. Doesn't have to do with him playing or them singing. Doesn't have anything to do with people next to me. I just want to talk to my dad. I don't even know what I'm saying, but he does. He knows what I'm saying. All right. Gosh. You see, you get me all off track here. This isn't even off track. All right. I might have to finish this next week. Let me just quickly tell you about the gift of tongues. No, I'm not. I'm not doing that. That's too important. Our time's up. So I don't want to rush into that. What I want to do is this. I want to make sure that we understand that the gifts that God gives us should never be about fear. They should never be about anxiety or discomfort. Now, I know some of you come from very traditional church backgrounds where don't even say a word that starts with T, let alone talk about tongues. And that's okay. I want to respect that with you, but I want to encourage you to be moving forward to a place where you're saying to the Father, God, what do you want to give me? That's all this is. What is it that you want to do in and through me? And God, when I'm going into battle every single day, I don't want to go in there without all the weapons you've got prepared for me. I want to go in ready that if you give me a word of prophecy, Father, I want to be able to speak that and to know that it's being used to glorify you. Because I will say this about tongues, and then I'm done. Tongues and prophecy are nearly identical in their purpose. Not in their function, but in their purpose. Remember what I said about prophecy last week. What are the three things that a prophetic word does? It edifies, it exhorts, and it encourages. Prophetic words are for the body, so are tongues. Tongues are for the body. You go, wait a minute, Pastor Dave, if nobody can understand what it is I'm saying, how is it going to help people? Right. That's why we have interpretation. And that's why those two things have to work together. So all of you are committed. You have to be here next week to hear the rest of this. So if you have plans, change them. Roberta, you got to come back again. I'm sorry. But I want you to hear how all of this comes together, because a prayer language is just a sweet gift from God. And if you're here this morning and you're going, I don't have a prayer language, but I'd like one, come see me. See Faith. Talk to Denise. Talk to Mom. Talk to Dottie. Anybody that has their own prayers, talk to Randy, talk to Mama Foos, and just say, listen, would you pray for me? And would you pray and ask God to fill me with his Holy Spirit so I can have that prayer language as well? And that may be something that God wants to give you. He may give it to you this very moment. He may wait a little bit. I prayed over a dear lady and prayed, and she wanted that infilling, and I prayed for her, and she didn't receive a prayer language right then. I said, that's okay. You just continue to ask God. She called me about 4 days later. She said, oh, my. She said, I started praying last night, and I'll tell you what, it just poured out of me, and I just had such a great time with my Father, just praising him and worshiping him. She said, I had no idea what I was saying, didn't have a clue. She said, but I knew God knew, and that's what was most important. So some of you may be sitting here going, I'm not sure I fully understand. That's okay. That's okay. We're going to keep talking about this because this is so important in the church. It's important for what God wants to do in the church, and it's important that we're walking in unity in this so that there's no division. Because there have been churches that have split over the gifts of the Spirit. Not in this house. We walk in unity for what God wants us to do. Amen? Always in unity together. Well, Father, I thank you for this word this morning. And I thank you, God, that you are preparing our hearts and our minds for what it is you have us to do. Father, there have been so many prophetic words spoken over this church that have said you are going to be using us in a mighty way. That doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be a huge church, because size is not the most important thing when it's coming to the kingdom in the kingdom, it's all about your presence, and that's what's most important. So we want to be prepared for what it is you want to do. And God, I pray if they're stirring in hearts right now this morning, that you would begin to reveal to us how it is you want us to operate in these gifts. Father, we've said we need to ask for these things if we want to have them. And so I'm praying, God, bring the gift of prophecy into people's lives. Bring the gift of the word of knowledge, of the words of wisdom. Bring, God, the gifts, God, that are going to come and they're going to make a difference in our lives and in this church. And even more than that, that we can take these things home with us to our workplace, to our homes, to our communities, to wherever it is we are, so that people will look at us and they won't see us. They'll see you in us to your glory and to your honor. Father, I thank you. And I pray, God, now just watch over each and every one of my brothers and sisters as we leave this place, wherever it is we go. Father, may we be a light in a dark place, all to your glory and to your honor. It's in Jesus' precious name that I pray all of these things. Amen.